Welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Glad to be with you. Thank you for sharing some time with me. I hope I make it worth your while. That is my promise every week. No wasted time. No insults to your intelligence. All the good stuff and none of the bad stuff. At least, that's my hope. You'll let me know if I veer from that path, I'm sure. Pretty excited about this podcast, getting some great feedback on some of these kind of solo ventures, these monologues, when the topics are right. And I think this is a good one, very appropriate for right now. Hunting travel tips. 30 years of learning the hard way, so you don't have to. That's my goal today. I'll probably hit on a few things you already know. Maybe you'll find something in there of value. And maybe you'll want to share this with some of your traveling friends for one reason or another. So stick with me, and I'll try and make it as useful as possible for you. Of course, there's all sorts of other things on the agenda brought to you by Cabela's. There are outfitters, and I am wearing all Cabela's gear once again today. Easy to do when they send it all to me in big boxes. The poor UPS guy... At least most of it's not very heavy, except when they send me a smoker or a food dryer or something like that. Cabela's.com. Learn more about them and what they're doing out there. In addition to travel tips of various sorts, we're going to talk about some of the things that you talk about. I asked on in our newsletter about the first bird you ever shot on a hunt. And on Facebook, I asked for a debrief of last weekend, some great reports out of all parts of the country there. Our Handle It segment this week covers some critical dog gear for the hunt as you get geared up, pardon the pun. And This Land Is Your Land is all about getting along in hunting country. Again, some of the things I've learned in so many places over so many years. First off, yeah, it's crazy out here. The forest fire smoke, I guess we really shouldn't complain about it considering what it's done to some of the communities in the West. Thank you for all your kind wishes. We're safe. We're happy because we're not those other guys in Detroit and Idana and Talent and all those other communities that basically went up in smoke. We got out just in time. We were over in that country, got away pretty much unscathed. I'll bore you with that story somewhere down the road, but we're all happy and healthy, except for the stinking smoke. It has impacted even my dog training. I'm a little worried about Flick's scenting abilities if he's out in smoky air. I mean, it's off the charts smoky. It is. They tell no everybody should stay in. Everybody. Not just the vulnerable ones. So it has boogered up our training just a little bit, but we're doing a few things inside. It does lead me to believe once again that challenging your dog both physically and mentally is a good idea. So if your dog is chewing up too many chew toys too fast, or he's gone beyond chew toys to furniture, consider the mental challenges you might be able to pose to that dog, even inside, even at night, even on a commercial break during a football game. Consider those and save your sanity and his as well. Thank you to so many people who respond to our weekend debrief question every Monday morning on Facebook. You can get in on it too. It's on the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page. Let's see, I asked for 15 words or less and an image if you have it. Frederick Ferraro, thanks. I'm glad you're having a good time out there. Brian Wormick, good job. Jay Gomez, way to go. No lost crippled Huns in Montana. I hope to be there soon myself. Brian Campbell, that image of you and your little Cocker Spaniel with the incredible coat color. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Speaking of sharing, are you getting the Upland Nation Weekend Essentials newsletter? Every week, well, almost every week. I don't like to, hammer on you all the time, but almost every week I provide you something in your inbox that will be of value. And then I ask you a question. And the last time around, it was, what was the first bird you shot on a hunting trip? All right. So you can probably guess the order here. Number one on the list, 44.7% of you said it was a pheasant. Going down the list from there, 21.5% said a quail, and then it was doves, then it was ruffies. Hardly 1% shot a prairie grouse, and then interestingly, or not interesting, I guess I would understand that. Chucker, 0%. Nobody goes first on a chucker hunt. It's kind of an acquired taste, but you've heard me talk about that in the past. So if you want to get in on all of that, and then all of the useful information that you find in that Weekend Essentials newsletter, just sign up for the mailing list at findbirdhuntingspots.com. All right, the Upland Nation podcast is brought to you by some really, really great folks, including fellow hunter Fred Bohm, who runs Sage and Breaker Mercantile, gun care products crafted at the highest caliber. You know, you ought to follow their Facebook page as well. Fred is an incredible photographer, big game hunter. Some of the best images I've seen are on his Facebook page. And if you want more of my stuff, Fred gets an exclusive blog post from me every month and posts it at sageandbreaker.com. So take a look at some of the insights I have. Gun-oriented, but that's what they're all about too. Watch some of the videos on how to take care of your guns a little bit better. It's all at sageandbreaker.com. And Dogtra has been with me for a long time for many reasons. One, because I went to them and said, I love your products. And they said, well, we love what you're doing, so let's get together. Among other things, their TNB dual collar system is tops of the pops in my world when it comes to training flick to retrieve and remain steady to covey rises of training pigeons at this point, and then falling birds of all sorts that come out of the same launchers. Thank you, Dogtra, for all your help. And if you'd like to learn more about their TNB dual, go to dogtra.com. And without further ado, because I've adued for way too long, I hope some of that was of value to you. You know, you can always talk with me on the Facebook pages, Upland Nation or Wing Shooting USA. I check them several times a day and would love to have you involved in the discussion, whatever it's about. And it goes all over the board. Try to keep it nice, civil, and positive. And I won't bore you on why those things are important to me, but let me tell you, the more I experience, the more I realize that having a good time is moving higher and higher up on my priority list. I won't get into the boring details, but just take my word for it. One of the things I love to do most is to travel for bird hunts. You know, they do say that travel is broadening. International travel is even more broadening. It makes you a better person, blah, blah. And I believe all of that. That experience happened again just last weekend in several ways. If you're thinking about doing it, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of tips on how to do it better. You know, I added it up at last. I got a map in the room where I work out of the United States, and I put little post-it note marks on all the states I've been to for one reason or another. And there's a whole bunch of yellow ones. There's yellow ones for places I've hunted, whether it's hunted for fun or hunted on TV or both. How many? As of today, 26. I've hunted in 26 states with 5 different bird dogs of my own, and then God knows how many dozens and dozens of other dogs. Good friends, new friends, old friends, acquaintances, lots of great pro guides and all of that. And I've learned from every single mile of every single trip. Hunting wild birds on public land, walk-in hunting, all the good stuff, including all those fancy lodges, of course. But, you know, I just love being on the road. And I'm lucky enough to share it with all sorts of great people and all sorts of incredible dogs. Yep, Flick already has enough windshield time to get a driver's license. If only he had opposable thumbs and could take the test. So what have I learned from all those border crossings, time zones, and new area codes that confuse me every time I pick up my phone? Well, I'm just going to start rattling things off. By the way, I'm Scott Linden, your host here at the Upland Nation podcast. I'm also the host of Wing Shooting USA, the TV show. And I hope you'll visit my newish blog, findbirdhuntingspots.com, where you can get some of this information in condensed form as well. Okay, so keep things ship shape in the vehicle. Know where everything is and put it back to the same place over the course of a 1,000-mile trip or longer if you're lucky or unlucky, depending on who you are. If you know where stuff is, you can find it faster. You can avoid the frustration. For example, my dog food is next to the dog crate. Next to the dog food is the dog bowl. Next to the dog bowl is dog water. It's all in the same place all the time, and it's in a handy place so that whatever you need, it's right next to whatever you just used. Think about that a little bit. Save yourself some time, some motion, some energy, and some frustration. When you stop for gas, I know it's a pain. That's why you do it. Check the oil. Check the tranny fluid. Check the diesel exhaust fluid. And clean the windshield, because you never know when you'll be able to do any of those things again. I carry about 8 gallons of extra diesel fuel in jerry cans on the roof of my truck, which will get me through one of those points where I did forget, but I top off my fluids and my fuel virtually every time I can, because as you've probably learned the hard way as well, gas stations close, towns burn up, people don't feel like doing the things they do, or they're out of diesel exhaust fluid. Stay on top of that stuff when you can, because the next time it may not be there to stay on top of. I found one of the things that's really important to my dogs is routine. And the most important aspect of a dog routine is feeding them on schedule. There are very few things they have to look forward in life besides bird hunting, and one of them is eating. Feed them on schedule whenever you can. I know it's not going to happen all the time, but when you can, feed your dogs at the same time every day. Now, I feed once a day during hunting days, and that's after the hunt, and a goodly amount of time after the hunt, but I'll explain that in another podcast, or you can go on the website and get my feelings on feeding during the hunting season. But feed them at the same time. And if there are other things you can get done while you're feeding the dog, all the better, because then you can stretch your legs a little bit, and that's a good thing when you're driving a lot as well. You got extra batteries for your dog collar. You got a charger. You got a flashlight. Owner's manuals for all that stuff you don't use regularly that you probably will end up using for one reason or another. Carry it all along. I like to cram in as many warm clothes as I can, because you never know what the weather's going to offer up. We had a shirt sleeve day at our Fur Feathers Friends event a couple years back, and then the next day we had a blizzard. Coincidentally, in Kansas the year before that, the week before I arrived, they had a tornado, a blizzard, and an earthquake. Now, I don't know that warm clothing's going to help in the earthquake, but it's going to help for those other two, that's for sure. I always bring more rain gear than I need, because somebody else on the trip probably forgot theirs. And if you're not wearing rain pants along with your raincoat, well, what's the point? Okay. Getting along with other people. There are lots of ways to do it, but there's always somebody somewhere along the way who deserves a reward for doing something to help you. I'm doing my best to find the perfect travel gifts that I can carry with me for all sorts of reasons. I've handed out beer. I've handed out smoked salmon. I've handed out for guys who climb up on the travel trailer and fix the vent at the last minute when they're busy, or somebody who stays late. bring a gift, something that is generic enough that it will be of value to everybody and then of usefulness to them as well. I've also got an extra bottle of something old and brown from Scotland to leave with those extra special helpers out there, so consider doing the same. Save your back. Invest in one of those fabric fold-up dog kennels. You've wrestled one of your big plastic kennels up the stairs at a hotel or into a lodge. Well, you know, that's all well and good, and I endorse that because I'm the last guy who would leave my dog loose in a hotel room or a lodge room. But for $100, you can get yourself one of those fold-up lightweight kennels that are easy to carry. In fact, you can always carry something else in your other hand, thank goodness, when you're using one of those. And they're pretty easy to put together, although I still do carry among the many manuals and instructions. I still do carry mine along, just in case. And as I've alluded to a couple times, let me get a slug of coffee here. Oh, man, that is the worst coffee I've had all day. It's the only coffee I've had all day. All right, so I've alluded to it a few times, and this current fire situation just reminds me once again, friends are precious. If you're going anywhere near your friends on a road trip, stop and visit, even if you don't think you have the time. There are so many reasons to stay in touch with the few really good friends you have. It is worth going out of the way. And out of the way is a relative term. If you're on an 800-mile trip, what's 50 miles? Your friend will appreciate it. You will feel better about it, and you'll feel better about your relationship, as will he or she. Send a thank you note. Could be just a postcard. It could be a real letter or something else. Even an email thank you note is better than nothing. Back to the dogs on this one. When you stop, for any reason, the first thing I would suggest you might consider doing is giving the dog some water. I know, they're kind of hinky about, you know, moving vehicles and all that, and if you, you watch them carefully, especially if they're in a box or in there, you know, loose on a seat, it's hard to stand up. And standing up is critical to having water. So that's one reason the first thing I do, if it's not already back there, and sometimes it is, and I regret that because it always spills on the rough roads, if they don't have it available all the time, offer it up first every time you stop. Leave it in there. Let them drink while you're doing all that other stuff. Safety first when it comes to finding places to park so the dogs are safe and unstressed. If you're going to be stopping for any length of time, take a moment or two on your Google map and find a high school athletic field or a county fairgrounds or a park somewhere off the freeway and go there instead of that highway rest area, which is full of all sorts of mean people and dogs, noise and smoke, scary stuff on the ground, and who knows what kind of diseases at the dog area that they've designated. Along those same lines, I always have tie-out stakes. Sometimes I don't use the stakes, but I will attach those chains to something, a picnic table. Sometimes if I know what I'm doing and I'm careful about it, there are posts of various sorts, but even a tied-out dog needs supervision all the time. Refill your water whenever you can, because unless you're like me and you carry 25 gallons on the top of your truck, you'll probably run out over the course of a day or two and forget at one point, so top it off when you top off everything else. All right. Did you bring a bowl for your dog? Again, back to that routine thing. If your dog eats out of a certain kind of bowl at home, bring that bowl along with you for his comfort and well-being. I try to eat at the local places. You should too. I know that the reason franchises are successful is because you can count on them to have the same cheeseburger in Huron, South Dakota as it would in Topeka, Kansas, But the flavor, pardon the pun, of the area is in those locally owned places. And you never know what might also come from that. So invest a little time, invest a little energy, and maybe a few extra bucks in the local establishments. You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden. We're talking about 30 years of bird hunting in 26 states. And hoping that somewhere in there will be something of value for you. We got a lot more to go, including this. Carry a thermos. One of the first things I do at that local joint is ask them to fill my thermos for the road. All sorts of reasons for that. Sometimes it's just so that you are caffeinated the whole way. Sometimes it's to share with somebody you meet along the way. There is no better icebreaker than a thermos full of coffee for the state trooper or the buckaroo you meet at the wire gate. So bring a thermos along. I bet 9 out of 10 times somebody accepts an offer of coffee. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about them and you and the situations that you're in? Think about that for a moment. Buy your groceries and your gas close to your destination, if not at your destination. Remember, and boy, I learned this every year over and over again, in many communities, hunters are economic development. Nobody else is. So if you're in a town where the posters are out saying, "Welcome hunters," they are counting on you to support them. And what they make in the fall may be the biggest amount of revenue that they're going to see all year. It's got to get them through the crappy times of a South Dakota winter or an Arizona summer. So spend some money locally. Learn a little bit about the place you're visiting. Pronounce place names correctly. And if you're in a lodge, ask permission, but visit with the kitchen staff. They're the folks who know what's what and can take care of you best. I'll never forget, I was in probably the most ritzy lodge I've ever been to. It was near Pierce, South Dakota. And I'm, as you can tell by this gulp, I love my coffee. I love bad coffee. I love good coffee better. In fact, when the TV crew and I are on the road, we carry our own anymore because so much of it is not bad. Weak. So I was the first one up at this lodge, except for one person in the kitchen. I hear some rattling around in there, and I've got a mug with nothing in it. I walk into the kitchen, and there is the French chef making his own French press coffee. I know just enough French to say, "Give me some coffee, please, and hurry up." And it started off the whole week on a high note. I'll tell you, we had a great time, and we got the good stuff when it came to coffee in the morning, too. Speaking of French chefs, and his was definitely laudable, you can always find something to compliment, whether it's the food at the lodge, it's your buddy's dog work, somebody's great shot, a well-managed covert, fine booze, or something else. And again, it's just a little game, but I'll tell you, you play a few games like that with your head and all of a sudden the rest of the trip goes well. Stay positive. Now, we're just getting warmed up. I've got another 12 or so tips for you on traveling during hunting season. I hope some of them will be of value to you. None of them will help you shoot more birds or make your dog steadier, but in the long run, hopefully you'll have a better trip, you'll have more positive memories, great friendships, and that trip will rise a notch or two on your list. So stay tuned, lots more to come, including our Handle It segment, where I tell you what's in my vest for the dog. Coming up right after a couple commercial messages, the first here for Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food. Now, Dr. Tim is Tim Hunt. He's a veterinarian, competitive sled dog racer, and he understands performance when it comes to dogs. In fact, peak performance might be a great topic for a podcast. Let me know what you think about that idea. You can get 30% off your first order at drtims.com simply by using the code UplandNation at checkout. I've raved about it, and I was reminded this morning as I lifted a 40-pound bag of Dr. Tim's Glacier formula, I rotate through them, and dumped it into my dog's feed bin, all 40 pounds of it. So I'm going to skip the overhead presses this afternoon in my workout. But I bring it up because so many dog food makers these days are not selling you 40 pounds worth of dog food. You may be paying for 40 pounds, but if you are careful, you've watched the size and weight of that bag shrink by the year. You want value and the best dog food ingredients you can find, always rated highly by dogfoodadvisor.com. Go to drtims.com. Had a great time at my local shooting emporium, the Redmond Rod and Gun Club, just north of town here. And of course, I was wearing my electronic shooters protection, hearing protection devices. ESP America is where you learn more about all your choices when it comes to digital hearing protection from my friend Jack Homa. He knows of what he speaks. And what I like most about ESP and their website is you can shop all the choices. Maybe you don't need the really ritzy bells and whistles that come on some models, but you just need fundamental protection. Well, Jack has got an assortment for you of all types at all prices. And the best news is you can get fitted right here locally. Go on the website, type in your address. You'll find a local dealer who will take care of the fitting for you. Send it back. Jack will make them just for you. He'll put your name on them, send them back. You'll test them at your local dealer, who's usually an audiologist, a real pro, and you are protected. And if you said, what? Maybe it's too late. No, it's not. It's never too late. Hearing loss is cumulative. Stop it before it gets worse. Learn more at espamerica.com. All right. Handle It is the segment of the Upland Nation podcast with me, Scott Linden, where I talk about things that I learned the hard way over many, many dogs, and by talking to many folks more knowledgeable than me. And I got some really interesting, and I'm grateful for your comments, by the way, on anything I write or talk about or do on my videos. Got some great comments on the stuff that I put in my vest. I did a video on that recently, so check that out at YouTube or anywhere else, probably. But I thought it'd be good to reiterate some of the things that I carry simply for the dogs, so that no matter what happens out there, we're more likely than not to be able to find our way back, fix any of the problems out there, and get home again. Here's the critical hunting gear for my dog, stripped down to the basics. I always carry some sort of a lead. I like those short ones because they're a little bit lighter, and after 11 or 14 miles on a chukar hunt, that helps. Some places call them a traffic lead. There's other names for them. I also like the kind that they give away at the veterinarian, those cheapo kind of really flimsy woven slip leads, if you will. They're very light, and when you lose one, you don't feel so bad. I carry a first aid kit for my dog. There's a few things in there for me, too, but that's another story for another podcast. But the one for my dog has, 6 or 10 items. That list is at the website, findbirdhuntingspots.com. Go there for the whole list. Got to keep it compact, or else you're not going to carry it. It's got to be light, or else you're not going to carry it. Plus, you can put it in any number of pockets if it's small enough. I carry water. Did I say I carry water? and then I carry some water. Half of my water goes to the dog. I have lots of ways to store it, lots of places to put it, and lots of ways to dispense it to your dog. If he'll drink out of a squirt bottle, all the better. A Boda bag, if that's your tendency. Just carry a lot of it. Don't let your hunt be aborted because you ran out of water at the top of the hill. I always carry a whistle. I use a whistle all the time to handle Flick, mainly because he's a big runner and we're in big country and screaming and yelling aren't going to do it. Maybe the same for you. There he is. He heard his name and he woke up. And finally, how much is your dog worth? Is he worth the cost of a GPS collar? You know, the price is coming down every year. There are all sorts of reasons to look at one. I like Dogtra because they have one that runs off your cell phone and you don't even need a cell phone signal. It's called the Pathfinder. So if you're trying to economize, that is one way to do it. But do not cheap out. Your dog is worth it. You'll find him. You'll know where he is. You'll only regret it when the worst things happen. That's the Handle It segment. Again, more stuff to think about as you go hunting. Which reminds me, let's think about traveling with our dogs. Man, I wish I could play like that. That is such a great piece of music. Someday, maybe. In the meanwhile, traveling with your dogs here on the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden. And the devil is in the details. It's easy to say and infinitely harder to actually do, but we're going to do it. I offered up a dozen tips or so last time around, and here's about a dozen more, maybe a baker's dozen, if you're old enough to remember what that is. You know, nobody does that anymore. Official gripe of the day. When you go buy a dozen bagels or a dozen donuts, now they only give you 12. That sucks. All right, off my high horse. I can almost guarantee you that if you use these, or if you have more that you want to share, the best place is on the Facebook page, Wing Shooting USA Facebook page. If you have travel tips, feel free to share them. I know you have most of this buttoned down. You have a list, you have all the stuff, but here is the gravy for your mashed potatoes. This is the stuff that my hunting partners see me pulling out of the truck thinking, man, I wish I'd thought of that. And they make a mental note to bring it the next time. All right. First, a little philosophy. Abandon all the kind of thoughts that creep in as you're already crossing the state line. Once you're on the road, it's time to begin living in the moment. Make do with what you have. And if you planned ahead, you probably have everything you need. Don't gripe about it. I know I am a Monday morning quarterbacker. I was a center on the football team, but I can still quarterback on Monday mornings. And I am obsessive about regretting the things I forgot or forgot to do. It's time to blow that off. You cross the state line, it's time to get to the forward-looking part of your trip. All right, so the first thing you got to remember is take a duplicate of anything that would kibosh your trip, force you to go home, or even worse, watch your buddy have all the fun. So what's in that category? It may be different for you, but for me, it's another shotgun. It's ammo in a different place so that when you forgot one place, you have it in another place. It's your hunting license. It's an extra pair of boots. It's an extra pair of glasses or reading glasses if you need them. Don't forget things like your pharmaceuticals. And yes, even once, it almost was a dog. If you have two dogs, you know what I mean. So that is argument enough. At least between me and my spouse, it is arguments plenty. Maybe you have them as well. I'm still waiting for permission for my second wire hair again this go round. Along the same lines, test everything that is critical before you go. If you haven't shot that spare shotgun in a while, take it to the range. I'll never forget opening my survival kit once to show it off to somebody. We were making a video for Cabela's, in fact. And I opened it up, and you know how they're folded. They're folded lengthwise, and then they're rolled, and then they're folded the other way and all that. Well, every fold was a shred. I had a shredded space blanket. I've carried leaky water bottles, and I had a boot sole come off on my very first chukar hunt. It's a wonder I'm still doing it. Talk about buzzkill. Anyway, if it's important, then field test it before you go. All right, beyond the critical stuff, here are the things that will help you maintain your sanity while hunting. At least they have so far. You might judge me differently, but I like to think that I'm somewhat sane sometimes. So here are the things that are important for your dog. Pad care. However you do it, some of us toughen our dog's pads by running them on pavement or kenneling on concrete or gravel. But I think there's another version of, quote, toughening, unquote, that I'm becoming a believer. And I'll just do it this way. Take two leaves, an old dry leaf in one hand and a fresh green leaf in the other. Those are now your dog's pads. Crumple them both in your hand. Open the hand. Which one survived the crumpling? The fresh, green, flexible one did. So I apply a pad conditioner of one sort or another once or twice a week, all year, and then almost daily during the hunt. I like Happy Jack Pad Coat, P-A-D, new word, K-O-T-E. You can learn more about them at Happy Jack Inc. INC.com. Something to keep those pads flexible as well as tough. A conditioned pad isn't softer, I'll just call it more flexible, and it might just bend around pointy stuff like a rock or a stub or something like that, better than a dry, brittle pad. All right, if you haven't taught your dog yet to drink from a Boda or a platypus or a, what do they call the other ones? You know, the guys who pioneered it. I can't remember their name. Anyway, one of those backpack style hydration bladders. Teach your dog to do that before you hunt. You can carry one source of water for both humans and canines, share it, and make yourself a little bit more efficient in that regard. So I still haven't mastered this part of the dog thing, and that is Flick in particular. He's the first wire hair I've had that is reluctant to eat on a hunting trip. Anytime we travel, not just hunting trips, but most of the time that's why we're traveling. But for him to not eat on a hunting trip, and he's skinny to begin with. You've seen him on the show, and as a puppy, he was even worse, but he just won't ingest enough calories. So whenever I can, I'm giving him those dog energy bars that I now am the distributor for, dogenergybar.com. You can learn more about all of that and why. But I do need him to take in that Dr. Tim's dog food as well. I mean, I'm told it tastes great. I don't have the nerve to test it for myself, but how can I get him to eat when he does lay down to eat? And he does. He's still a puppy in that regard. He'll lay down and cradle his bowl in his front legs and eat when he does. So I'll bring all sorts of palate pleasers, and I'll bury them under his usual dog food ration just in case. Now, thank you, Dr. Tim Hunt at drtims.com. You suggested, and I now use, one of those probiotic powders. Fortiflora is the one we all know about. He says that tastes pretty good, too, and the dogs will eat that. And I've seen that work, so I do that. I carry canned wet cat food as well. You know, it stinks to high heaven, I know, because we have this argument at home every couple days. But it works for getting a dog to nibble through or gobble through his usual food to get down to that cat food. And then at the end of the hunt, which is the only time I feed, I don't hunt. I don't feed immediately after a hunt. I let the dog settle. I give that glycocharge, and you've heard me talk about that before. That goes into his water, and I give that to him immediately after he stops running. let that work for 90 minutes, then I'll feed, and then I'll use all these inducements. The other thing that's always worked for me is those weird unknown substances that they call scrambled eggs in those free hotel breakfasts. You know, if I'll eat one, he'll eat one, and that ends up carried out into the dog box quite often in my case, and Flick will eat that stuff. All right, so I alluded to the dog emergency kit or the dog first aid kit and that sort of thing. I'm just going to remind you one more time about it, because there's one thing that a lot of people do not carry with them in that, and that is a way to wash out eyes and wounds. If you have one of those platypuses or a squirt bottle of water, something like that, that'll work pretty good. But I like to carry a dedicated version of that, smaller, of course, that is full of distilled water. For many, many years, I dealt with a veterinary ophthalmologist when Buddy was getting older, and she said distilled water is way better than all of those other eye washes out there, whether it's saline solution, contact lens solution, or anything else. Distilled water works to wash out eyes well. And it also works great because you can use it to wash out a wound. And that's the number one step when you're cleaning a wound, is to get all that the big chunks out. That's the best way to do it. Teach your dog how to put up with it, especially in the eyes, because it's kind of weird. But if you train your dog right, and I'm going to do a video on this kind of stuff real soon, so stand by for that. But anyway, teach your dog to put up with a little distilled water being washed into his eye. All right, like I said earlier, if you want the whole list of emergency care stuff for your dog that is in my vest, just go to findbirdhuntingspots.com. All right, let's get to getting and going along. I stop any number of places along the way, and especially when I'm near my destination. Number one, just to find out how things are going, whether there was a fire, and believe me, this year that's going to be a big topic, whether some places that were open are now closed and closed are now open. You never know what's going to come from shopping in the local store, visiting with the game wardens, the refuge manager, the biologist, or even the UPS guy when he stopped for a coffee as well. All of those things will pay off for you and hopefully make your trip a little bit more productive. Okay, talked about gifts, talked about thermos of coffee. I also carry a big envelope under the passenger seat in my truck. It's got this stuff in it, and I hope I never have to use it. It's got 24 copies of a poster that say "Lost Dog" and have a picture of my dog, and then all the information needed to reach me no matter where we are. I've never had to put one out for me, but I've helped a lot of other people put them out for their dogs, and I've helped them search for their dogs as well. Talked about the GPS collar, number one preventive measure right there. That is an ounce of prevention that'll cost you more than a few pounds of treatment down the road. So I'll put his microchip number, I'll put his picture, I'll put his license number, and then my phone numbers of all sorts. Even if there's no cell phone service, you'll get that message the next time you get to a high spot or something like that. Bring something to attach those posters, whether it's thumbtacks, duct tape, or something else, because you're not going to find anything like that out where we hunt most of the time. And here's a hint. If you lost your dog, the first thing you do is head into the wind. I have learned this again. You know who I learned this from? A fellow Field and Stream writer many, many years ago. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Head into the wind when you lose your dog. Something drew that dog toward what was likely something that smelled interesting. Deer, cattle, pronghorn, elk, roadkill. Head into the wind first. Maybe I'll do one on how to find a lost dog down the road. I'll do an article on that in the blog, so watch for that as well. Bring 12-volt adapters for all your stuff. that may be the only way to charge some of it. Or one of those little, you know, they're about $100 now, one of those universal charging gizmos with a lithium ion battery in it. I charged a cell phone yesterday. I jump started a neighbor's car in the campground last weekend. Boy, oh boy, I wish we could find a plug-in for that. Although I guess you could probably use a what do they call them, inverters or converters? Plug your, anyway, bring that. Bring reading glass, told you that. Some people hate them, some people love them. My flexi lead is on my left side in the pocket of my driver's side door, because there are times when you'd be crazy to use one and let your dog out on a long lead, but there are other times when it's exactly what you need. If you're in a safe place without a lot of stimuli, let him stretch out a little bit, especially when he needs a little privacy, if you know what I mean. Just keep it nice and tight when you're around traffic, people, or obstacles. Okay, here's a segment I call Comfort and Joy. You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host. Hope you're getting something out of this. 30 years of travel tips, most of it learned the hard way. Here are things I bring along for mine and everybody else's comfort. Bandana, and not those 99-cent versions you buy at the convenience store made out of cotton. I like a big silk bandana. Have to go to a Western store most likely to find one, and they're a little pricey, you know. I think the last one I bought was $20, but it'll last a lifetime, and it is usable for so many things. Let's starting at the top. Yeah, it is a headband. It keeps your neck warm. It is a pot holder. It is a sweatband. And that's just the start. Plus, you also look dashing. Pick one that you like. Wear it all the time. It'll come in handy. It's like the Swiss Army knife of clothing. Pack a bandana. We got enough stress on a trip. So does your dog. How does he relieve it? Looking at mine right now. And he's gnawing on his chew toy. Some dogs love those Nylabones. Some dogs love what I... it's called a Go-Nut. G-O-U-G-H-N-U-T. Go-Nut. Indestructible. Whatever it is, bring it with you. If you have more than one, store one in the truck all the time. I'm doing that. He'd rather chew that than your steering wheel, right? Okay. All right. Okay, so you're on a long road trip. You can't hunt that day because you're driving so far. One of the things that's always come in handy for me, and I have yet to meet a dog that won't play with it, a tennis ball thrown back and forth and back and forth in a safe location. And safe locations are everywhere. I was a pitcher and a catcher when I played baseball, and so I got a bad shoulder, so I can't throw as far as my dog is willing to run. So I bought one of those things, they're called chuckets. You know, it's like an atlatl for a tennis ball. Find them anywhere. Chucket is what it's called. Various versions. You'll love it, and you will be indebted to it, because after about 30 throws, everybody's arm is going to get a little tired, if not sore. Get a chucket. Find a fairgrounds, a school that's closed, a ball field. I love little league fields because you can close all the gates and you can play in an enclosed area. Just pay it forward. A couple years ago, I mowed the lawn, if you will, mowed the infield, if you will, in Conrad, South Dakota. Then I got to play with my dog there. So pay it forward, clean up after your dog, use a chuck it. Tennis ball thrower, find a safe place and lob a few dozen tennis balls for your dog. All right, for us, it's easy. I'll eat anything. I try to eat strategically, but it doesn't work most of the time. For my dog, though, I try to be a little bit more careful. Mention my dog energy bars, especially on the hunt, because that's when they need quick energy and it comes from fat. For us, quick energy comes from carbohydrates. Plan ahead, bring the ones that are good for you, that are easily digestible, and carry some with you during the day. Every couple hours, take a nibble here and there. I'm experimenting with something else for my dog. on top of everything else. It's a little bit hard to prepare, but if anybody else has tried this, let me know, because I have read, and, you know, because I'm always on a diet too, I've read that raw egg yolks, number one, are full of fat. I mean, they're like almost all fat. So I avoid them most of the time, not always. I like my spaghetti carbonara. In fact, I made it last night. If you want the recipe, it's so simple. Just send me a note. Anyway, I'm putting raw egg yolks in a squeeze bottle and carrying some of that with me on the hunt for Flick. So far, so good. A little messy, but if you put it in the right kind of squeeze bottle, and there's a million of them out there, you can jam it through the little nozzle and your dog gets basically a total fat snack that's easy to carry and easy to give. You want your dog firing on all eight cylinders? Try some of that stuff so that when you're having that, you know, so-called energy bar, which really isn't, just look at the label, your dog is getting the real deal. If you've noticed me lately, met me somewhere, you're not confused at all. Yes, I am wearing suspenders a lot more these days, especially on a hunt. They keep your crotch of your pants where it's supposed to be instead of dropping down like some rapper or hip-hop artist, which makes you run faster and jump higher, as the old saying goes. When your pants aren't falling off, you're not fighting your hunt with every step. Same for a strap vest with a waist belt of substance. There's a lot of token waist belts out there, but the ones that work will save your bacon, or at least your spine. All the weight of your water, your ammo, and hopefully a few birds in the bag is transferred down to your hips instead of your shoulders. It makes you a better shooter, too. Think about it. If you got all that weight pulling on your shoulders, your gun swing sucks. But if it's on your hips, who cares? Maybe the physicists can explain why, but it even feels like there's less weight on my waist when I'm carrying it all with a good strap vest. Thank you, by the way, to the folks at Kelty who basically pioneered that whole area in the backpacking world back when I was a Boy Scout, and it still works. Speaking of hydration, thank you. Among your other safety gear, in my left front pocket of my hunting vest is a pair of side cutters, dikes, whatever you want to call them, wire cutters, but they better be substantial ones. There are enough snare traps out there, especially on public walk-in ground, that sort of thing, that can catch your dog. And once you get there, there's no more helpless feeling than knowing you can't release him. Carry a dike and keep it handy. Forestall your late night leg cramps by hydrating frequently in the field and after the hunt. Okay, after the hunt, I'm kind of a craft beer guy. There's plenty of potassium in there and there's plenty of fluid in there. So that's my rehydration choice after the hunt. During the hunt, I add noon to my water. That's N-U-U-N. Remember Alka-Seltzer? Those fuzzy tablets you drop in and they fizz and all that? Well, they do that in your water and they replace the electrolytes that you sweated out on a long hunt. I remember one hunt, it was a long, really hot day. The end of the day, there was this white powder on my arms and I kept thinking, well, what did I bump into? It wasn't that at all. That was all the electrolytes. I sweated out. The potassium, magnesium. I'm afraid to guess what else. All right, after the hunt, I'll also do some stretching, especially my thighs and my calves. And then on the table next to my bed, if I'm lucky enough to be in a lodge, or next to my bed in my travel trailer when I'm hunting public ground, are Highlands anti-cramp tablets. Don't give them to your dog. They're just for humans, but they're always handy. I've virtually eliminated leg cramps. And if you ask my TV crew, you know how bad they used to be, because they would hear me in the middle of the night. That's when they come. So if you're a crampy kind of guy, noon, hydration, stretching, Highlands. All right. Dry dogs are welcome in my truck cab. Dirt, another thing. You can always vacuum it up. But if your seat's wet, your seat's wet. And I've had to sit on them. I don't like it. Rather than the usual, you know those ShamWows? I love them. They do absorb more than cotton. They dry faster. I keep a couple in the back of my truck. The first thing my dog gets when we're done hunting is his glycocharge. The second thing is a tailgate exam. The third thing is a good toweling off with one of those ShamWows or two of those ShamWows, depending on how wet he got. Remember that your dog works as hard as you do. Would you want to sleep on the hard ground? No, you would not. Bring him a soft bed of one sort or another. The thicker, the better. The whole idea is to minimize the contact between the hard ground and the dog's bones and joints. So make it nice and thick. A lot of grass hay is my second choice if I can't get one of those Gunner orthopedic kennel pads, which thank you, Gunner, for doing a great job on design. One or the other or both, or if they're allowed, my dog gets the other bed in a hotel room. Anyway, we say don't sweat the small stuff. Back in the day when I was serious about another business in another world, I remember reading the book, but the small stuff is what makes the world go round and will make your trip and your dog's trip a little bit more enjoyable. I know I've covered a lot of ground here, very few other things yet to talk about, but bear with me because it's all important. And you can get all of it later this year at finebirdhuntingspots.com. Some things I will always carry with me include that aerosol tire sealant. I've never used it on any of my own tires, but I've donated it to several other travelers on lonely dirt roads. My shooting improved dramatically when I was able to tighten up my chokes by replacing the tubes. Don't forget your wrench. A flashlight is great. A headlamp is greater. It keeps both hands free for plucking or cooking outside or that middle of the night call of nature. If you know anything about guns, carry a spare firing pin or two. And of course, it has a light side and a dark side, but like the Force, duct tape should always be with you. That's about it on the list. It won't put you into clouds of quail or fix a continental tail set if you wanted a 12 o'clock tail set, but might get you out of a fix here and there or make your trip a little bit more convenient, productive, safe, or enjoyable. That'll top that part of the Upland Nation podcast. I got a little bit more to go, including some tips in our This Land Is Your Land segment about getting along that you might not have thought of yourself. So stay with me as we take a quick break, talk about Gunner Kennels, learn more about them at gunner.com. There's a reason they're called man's best kennel. If you have one, you know what I mean. Yeah, we are a cult and we are believers. And now Addison Edmonds and the folks at Gunner have given us more reasons to be loyal and true. They're developing a large number of accessories from various pads, including the one I just talked about, to fans for your crate, tie-down straps, even a personalized nameplate for your dog. He deserves it, doesn't he? Free shipping always on Man's Best Kennel. Take a look at the 1,200 five-star reviews and watch some of the videos. It's no wonder they're getting reviews like that. Some of the stories are unbelievable. Learn more at gunner.com. Just over at the dogtra.com site, they're my training collar of choice. You'll get 10% off and free shipping on anything over $200. Just use the code SLUN10 at checkout. If you have a long-haired dog, and you know what I mean, setter guys, cocker guys, springer guys, maybe even some of the Munsterlander folks, Dogdra has invented something that I think will be of great value to you. They call them enhanced contact fins. Learn more about enhanced contact fins and why they might be of real value to you if you have a long-haired dog. Go to dogdra.com. On many models of their training collars, those enhanced contact fins are free in a bundle. So take a look. Thank you so much for sticking with me. This Land Is Your Land is not only a great song that the taxpayers of the United States paid Woody Guthrie to write way back during the Depression, it is a good description of all that public ground and privately owned walk-in ground that we have access to. Much of it around here on South Dakota, who brings you this segment. Learn more about their public access at hunthuronsd.com. So I've talked about all the ways to prepare for your trip. I just want to make a few more suggestions that might help. Here are some things that have paid off, literally paid off in one way or another, for me in the last few years. Buying fuel at a local, well, I was going to say at a gas station, but it was also the post office, the general store, and the motel. The old timer on the other side of the pump said, go to that creek at that time of day and the chuckers will be down there getting water. And sure enough, if it wasn't true. Thank you, Cactus. Thank you, Fields, Oregon. I'll see you all soon again. Secondly, hang out at the local watering hole. I don't ask you to buy around for the house, although sometimes that's not a bad idea, but just hang. Patronize that business just like you would the local grocer, the local fuel station, and everybody else. You never know. If you go in with the right attitude, you're humble and sensitive, I guess is the way to put it, you're going to learn something that you probably can use down the road. Okay, and just a couple of driving pet peeves when you're fitting in hunting country. When you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and it's a dirt road, you know what kind of a dust plume you're creating. Well, if there's some poor buckaroo pushing cows down along the side of the road, or some guys broke down and got plenty of help, slow down and quit making all that dust as you pass by. And that means slow down in good time for that. And finally, thank you for listening to this, because this is one of my biggest gripes. In most country roads, there's three tire tracks on a gravel road. There's one smack dab in the middle, and then there's one on each side. When we're driving down that road, we try to take the two so that we don't kick up as much gravel. We do kick up more dust that way, but we kick up less gravel. All right, we're going down the two, which means oncoming traffic only has one. That's when we both move over, and nobody gets the middle tire track, the middle rut. We're all kicking up gravel with our inboard tire, and our outboard tire is in the rut. Please do that the next time you're heading down the road, probably going too fast. Thank you for entertaining my pet peeves. You're very kind. Speaking of entertaining, I am just about wrapping it up here. I want to thank a couple of our fine sponsors one more time. Happy Jack Dog Care Remedies. Learn more about all the stuff that they have that will be of use to you, just like it is to me, at happyjackinc.com. And ESP America, where you get all sorts of choices when it comes to hearing protection devices. Prices, features, technologies, it's all there in various forms for you to browse. I can't believe I just spent an hour talking to you. I hope you learned something from it. I love talking to you just as much as you love hearing me, at least I hope you do. And if so, please subscribe and rate the Upland Nation podcast, especially on Apple Podcasts. Could use all your help there that I can get. Please tell your friends. Stay in touch every day at the Upland Nation and the Wing Shooting USA Facebook pages. Learn more about all this stuff that I've talked about today and other things at findbirdhuntingspots.com. I want to thank those who have left reviews recently, including my friends Valley Quail, BZ Uplands on the Wing, and Keklik One. Thank you all for those kind reviews. I'll leave you with this because it is getting down to the wire for some of us. Some of us are hunting. Keep your friends close and your family closer, and keep your dog right next to you riding shotgun whenever you can. Be safe. Enjoy your season. Keep me posted. Thanks a lot for listening. I'm Scott Linden. I'll see you in the field.